Dr. Christian's office.
The Vaseline Program, the only program in radio where the audience writes the script. Tonight, the spotlight is on Spencer, Indiana, and the prize goes to Freda Franklin for her play, The Attic Stairway Murder Mystery, starring Jean Hersholt as Dr. Christian and Rosemary DeCamp as Judy Price. Men, dry scalp can certainly detract from your appearance. Don't ignore dry scalp. Watch for these warning signs. Dry, brittle, rebellious hair, loose, unsightly dandruff, tight, itchy scalp. At the first sign of dry scalp, start using Vaseline Hair Tonic. With Vaseline Hair Tonic, you combat dry scalp. Check it easily, quickly, effectively. Vaseline Hair Tonic actually supplements natural scalp oils, contains no alcohol or other drying ingredients. Apply just 5 drops a day with comb or directly on the hair. You'll check dry scalp, groom rebellious hair, keep it soft and neat, combed just right. Also, a brisk Vaseline Hair Tonic massage before each shampoo checks loose dandruff, relieves itchy tightness. Vaseline Hair Tonic gives double care, both scalp and hair. Checks dry scalp, leaves your hair natural-looking, attractive. Remember, more bottles of Vaseline Hair Tonic are sold today than of any other hair tonic in America. Buy, try Vaseline Hair Tonic. And so to our prize play, The Attic Stairway Murder.
Oh, it's time to shut up shop, Judy. 5 o'clock in a dark winter's evening and all's well in River's End.
No, not so fast, Dr. Christian. All's not well in River's End. Doctor, a call just came in.
Oh, take it easy, Judy. After all, what's one more telephone call to a doctor's office?
But wait till you hear, Doctor. Mrs. Mary Parker's been murdered right in her own home here in River's End.
What? You mean Mrs. Parker who lived at that big house on Oak Street?
That's right. Ed Parker's widow. You remember he owned a lot of real estate around town, used to be president of the bank.
Mrs. Parker murdered. A victim of robbery, I suppose. Well, it's no wonder. That huge Parker house is crammed full of valuable things.
Mrs. Brown, a next-door neighbor, found Mrs. Parker lying dead at the foot of her attic stairway less than an hour ago.
So that's how it is. Mrs. Parker, an unusually heavy woman and therefore slow of foot, falls down her attic stairs and the neighbor finds her, gets excited, and promptly reports an accidental fall as a deliberate murder. Who called me, Judy?
The sheriff, Doctor. The coroner's out of town, so the sheriff phoned to ask you to come instead.
Well, I suppose I'll have to drive across town and go through the required inspection. You coming along, Judy?
Oh, as if you needed to ask that. This town is going to feel a great loss in Mrs. Parker's death, Dr. Christian.
I'm not so sure of that, Judy.
Hmm?
To me, Mrs. Parker seemed a cold, uncharitable sort of person. One who has incapable of making, keeping any real friends.
Mrs. Parker uncharitable, Doctor? Why, her name has headed every list of Red Cross donors and war bond purchasers and paralysis drives or what have you, as long as I can remember.
Oh, I wasn't referring to the well-publicized charity of the purse, Judy, but to the unsung generosity of the human heart. I was thinking particularly of poor Mary Bicknell.
Oh, I know who you mean. She's that thin, sharp-tongued creature who's taken care of Mrs. Parker's house for years.
Yes.
You can see her almost any time, day or night, slinking up the alleys on her way to and from work. Twisting along on that old patched-up crutch.
Yeah, that's what I mean, Judy. Surely a really generous employer would have done something in all these years about that miserable crutch. Not to mention doing something about Mary Bicknell's poor twisted body.
But, Dr. Christian, no one except Mrs. Parker would have Mary Bicknell around. She was so bitterly hostile towards everybody, so strange in her looks and actions.
Maybe so, but I can remember when Mary Bicknell was a very pretty girl. She and Mrs. Parker were girlhood friends, you know.
Mary Bicknell, pretty?
Very pretty, Judy. Tall and slender, always laughing and gay, with merry brown eyes. Well, she was called Mary B. to distinguish her from a friend who later married Ed Parker.
But I can't imagine her being pretty or a friend of Mrs. Parker.
Oh, the two girls were inseparable until Mary Ward married Ed Parker, quite suddenly.
But what happened to change Mary Bicknell from a gay young girl into the unsocial person she is now?
I wish I knew. Oh, her hips was broken in an accident that left one leg shorter than the other, but some deeper hurt must have crushed her heart and soul about the same time. I never quite understood the case. Well, here we are. You found her lying just like this, Mrs. Brown?
Yes, Doctor. Poor Mrs. Parker was lying just as you see her now at the foot of these stairs, with letters and paper scattered up and down the steps and all over Mrs. Parker herself.
She must have been looking through a box of old letters. These are yellow and crumbly with age. And will you look at these old-fashioned valentines? Bumpy roses of red velvet, frilly lace all around the edge.
Yes, that's how I happened to find Mrs. Parker. She had planned a Valentine bridge party for tomorrow afternoon. She asked me to come over after Mary Bicknell was through cleaning today and help with the decorations for the party.
Oh, so Mary Bicknell was here with Mrs. Parker today, huh?
Of course.
Well, what time did Mary leave for her own home, Mrs. Brown?
Well, it was later than usual because of the extra cleaning for the party.
You saw Mary when she left?
Yes, I did. Although I usually don't pay much attention to Mary's comings and goings. But late this afternoon, I happened to be out back, and I saw Mary leaning against our garage, fiddling with that old crutch of hers.
Just what was Mary doing to her crutch?
Well, she was wrapping the part that fits under her arm with some old paper.
After that, you saw Mary go on towards home?
Yes. She straightened up and stared at me and then hobbled down the alley. Oh, I don't know what to become of Mary Bicknell now. Well, she couldn't have existed all these years without Mrs. Parker's kindness and giving her work.
Well, that's a matter of opinion, Mrs. Brown. Did you see anyone else here after Mary Bicknell left?
No one, Dr. Christian. But someone else had to be here. Well, look at Mrs. Parker's poor bruised face, and look at the blood-matted hair.
Oh, but Mrs. Brown, a woman as heavy as Mrs. Parker would necessarily be severely bruised to fall down a stairway as long and as steep as this one?
Yes, but look at her hands, Dr. Christian. Look at Mrs. Parker's hands. They're placed in exact order across her chest.
Mrs. Brown's right, Dr. Christian. Her hands are placed as dead hands are placed across the chest. And, of course, if she'd fallen, her hands would have been flung out to keep her balance.
And notice these letters. A dozen or more of them are arranged neatly on top of Mrs. Parker's hands.
Yeah, so they are. And the letters are in two neat piles.
Yeah.
Two very neat piles. Let's have a look at these letters.
Her rings. Mrs. Parker's rings. They're gone.
I see, Mrs. Brown. And the fingers are bruised where the rings have been painstakingly worked off over the heavy flesh of the fingers.
Yes.
Which means that someone took Mrs. Parker's rings after she had fallen down these steps, arranged her hands for death, and then placed these letters on top of her hands.
Maybe the murderer is still hiding up there in the attic, waiting to kill and rob us all. Oh, let me out of here. Let me out of here.
I dread this interview with Mary Bicknell, Dr. Christian. We'll have to tell her that she's lost the only friend she's known for years.
You're right, Judy. This promises to be a very unpleasant night for everyone. Just look at that snow pounding down. The wind fairly rocks the car.
This is not a very nice neighborhood we're driving through. You sure Mary Bicknell lives near here?
Yes, quite near. We turn down this next street. Mary Bicknell's house sits on the very end of the street, right beside the railroad tracks. There we are.
Mary Bicknell live in that? Why, it's nothing but a shed.
Yes, Judy.
Can't see any light from the window. She's surely not at home.
I'll leave the car lights on until we find out. Let's go and knock. Maybe Mary has gone to bed early to save lights.
Look, Dr. Christian. There's someone coming this way, just starting across the tracks. Looks like Mary Bicknell. Can't be sure in this blinding snowstorm.
It is Mary. I would know that one-sided twisting walk of her if I only saw her shadow.
Dr. Christian, there's a train coming. Mary's square in the middle of those tracks.
You're right, Judy. Fast train is coming. Hurry, Mary, hurry.
She hears you, Doctor. She's trying to run, but with that crutch. Oh, Doctor, she's right in the headlight of the train. Oh, the engineer sees her.
Run, Mary, run!
Helpless.
Get my bag from the car, Judy, while I straighten Mary out in the cut.
Yes.
We'll make her as comfortable as possible for the short time she has left.
Of course, Doctor. Poor Mary. She's still holding tight to the broken off top of her crutch.
I've been looking for you, Dr. Christian. I was just coming home from your office.
And I was waiting for you, Mary Bignell. I think you want to tell me about Mrs. Parker, don't you?
Yes, Doctor. I want to tell you about the time when Mary Ward Parker and I were girls together.
Yeah, in just a minute, Mary. There's Judy. We'll try to make you more comfortable. There now. That's better.
Yes.
So, Mary Bignell, 40 years ago, you and Mary Ward were intimate friends.
Yes. Until I fell in love with Ed Parker and he with me. Mary Ward objected because Ed claimed so much of my time.
But I don't understand why you want to see so much of Ed Parker, Mary B. After all, we have plenty of fun together without Ed along.
You'll understand it, Mary, when you fall in love. You can't imagine how wonderful it is.
I can't imagine anything wonderful about being in love with a poor boy like Ed Parker.
Oh, as if Ed's being poor can make any difference with me. I guess you haven't heard the news. Ed's uncle, who's a director at the bank, has promised to start Ed out in the banking business any day now.
Well. Oh, well, Ed could do worse, I suppose.
Ed told me that just as soon as he's sure of the job, he had something very special to tell. Maybe that's Ed calling now.
I'll get it. Hello, Ed. Oh, I just knew it was you. Probably because I've been thinking about you all morning. No, sorry, Mary B. is out right now. Yes, I'll be glad to give her the message. Goodbye, Ed. Call me again soon.
Mary Ward, how could you? You knew Ed wanted to talk to me, not to you.
Oh, you're letting your imagination run away with you, Mary B. I didn't detect any special love note in Ed's voice. He simply said he was bringing his new horse and buggy around to show you this evening.
A new horse and buggy? Oh, that must mean he's sure of the bank job. I just know Ed means this to be a very special night. I'll go press my new dress.
Oh, boy. Oh, now. Hurry up, Mary B. I want to take you for a ride. Show off my new horse.
Ed. Oh, Ed, he's beautiful. I can hardly wait to ride in your new rig.
And I can hardly wait to ask a certain beautiful girl a certain special something. Hold it, boy. Come around on this side to climb in, honeybee.
All right.
I don't dare let go of these reins long enough to get out and help you. Hold there. Here, put your foot on this step.
Oh, hello, Ed.
Oh, hello, Mary. Careful, Mary B. Watch your wheels. This horse is frisky.
Oh, I don't know when I've seen a more handsome horse or a more handsome driver. How about letting me share the first ride?
Well, some other time, maybe. But tonight, Mary B. and I are going...
I'll go around on the other side and climb in.
Oh, boy. Easy now. Mary Ward, don't flip your skirts over the wheel like that. You're frightening the horse.
Hey!
Steady, boy. Steady. Mary B., get back quickly. You're right between the wheels. I can't hold it.
For many weeks, Dr. Christian. Lonely because I heard or saw nothing at all from Ed Parker. Mary Ward was the only visitor I had. I tried to reach Ed through her. I gave her letters to mail and asked her to telephone him for me. But I heard nothing until one day...
Mary B., here's a letter for you at last. It, looks as if it might be a valentine.
Oh, give it to me quickly. It's from Ed. He sent me a valentine. Oh.
What's the matter with you, Mary B.? Here, Let me read your letter. A comic Valentine. Dear Mary, don't you think this whole affair is getting rather tiresome? Why not stop this silly phoning and letter writing and let me remain merely your casual friend, Ed Parker?
I can't believe that Ed wrote that.
But of course he did write it. You recognize the handwriting at once. Well, I'll teach you a lesson you'll not forget soon. Ed Parker plainly doesn't want to be bothered.
I'll never bother him again.
I kept that promise, Dr. Christian. I never again tried to communicate with Ed Parker. Then that same summer, he and Mary Ward were married.
But you have surely seen Ed Parker through all these years before he died?
Only at a distance, Doctor. When people would no longer hire me for office work, I was forced to accept Mary Parker's offer of housework. But I made it a point to come and go when Ed was at the bank. One day, they brought Ed home from the bank, very ill.
Yes, I remember. He had fallen while at work and was unable to move or speak until he's dead the next day.
Yes. I was cleaning the reception hall when they brought Ed home. His eyes watched me until they carried him upstairs. He looked as if he were trying desperately to tell me something.
And today, Mary Bicknell, I think you found out what Ed Parker was trying to tell you.
Yes, Doctor. About noon, I went upstairs with Mrs. Parker to hunt out some old valentines for the party. It was dark up in the attic. It's dark in here, Doctor.
Help me, Judy, quickly.
Yes, Doctor.
There. Better now, Mary?
Yes, better, Doctor. But I'll have to hurry. I pulled a box of old letters from a wall shelf in the attic, and a large square envelope fell out. And as I picked it up, I saw the address. It had been sent to me.
From Ed Parker, wasn't it, Mary?
Yes. It was a beautiful Valentine, with a tiny honeybee drawn by hand down in one corner. I pulled out the Valentine and read the words inside. Mary B., please, dearest girl, send me just one little note in answer to the millions I've written you. I find it hard to believe what Mary Ward tells me, that you say you'll never forgive me for being the cause of your accident. I'll be waiting for the word that will bring me running. I'll always be waiting. I looked up from the letter in my hand, see Mrs. Parker staring at me in the dim light of the attic. She was very furious.
Put those letters back. Stop snooping in things that don't belong to you, Mary Bicknell.
But this does belong to me. Ed sent me this Valentine when I was in the hospital. He sent you the comic Valentine asking you to stop annoying him with phone calls and letters. You switched the Valentines. Didn't you, Mary Ward Parker?
Don't know what you're talking about, babbling about Valentines. Give me that box of letters this instant.
Ed Parker didn't want you, Mary. He didn't want you all those years.
Ed was weak, except in business. He didn't know what was good for him. I knew I could help Ed reach the top. You couldn't. I knew, too, that I could help you, Mary B., just as I've been doing all these years.
Just as you've been doing all these years. When every step was agony, every day an eternity of aching misery. Every day the humiliation of handling riches and going home to poverty and hunger. Just as you've been doing all these years.
Give those letters to me and get out of here! Get out! Ah!
I I didn't touch her, Dr. Christian. I didn't. She grabbed the box of letters with such force that the box broke in her hand, spilling the letters out. She staggered back to the edge of the open stairway, lost her balance, and fell all the way down.
Then it was you who arranged her hands across the chest with the letters on top?
Yes. At first, I thought she was dead and placed her hands like that. But when I saw her watching me and knew she would be able to see and to think for a while, I put those letters before her eyes.
But they were your letters. Ed Parker had written them to Mary B. Bicknell. I noticed their addresses this evening when I picked them up.
Yes. So that with Mary Ward's last conscious glance and thought, she would remember the bitter, empty years Ed and I had suffered.
But why didn't you take the letters addressed to you?
I couldn't carry them, Doctor. I took something so much better. Something Ed had meant for me to have. Until Mary Ward's lies tricked him into marriage with her. Doctor. Doctor.
Yes, Mary.
My crutch, Doctor. My crutch.
Oh, Doctor. She's dead.
Yes.
What did she mean about her crutch? There's only a piece of it left. Just the very top.
Wait. I'll unwrap some of these rags and paper from the saddle of the piece of crutch.
That paper in your hands, it looks like a valentine, Doctor. It is. It's soaking wet, but you can still see the red velvet roses. And it's wrapped around some rings, Dr. Christian. Oh, they must be Mrs. Parker's missing rings. Now everybody in River's End will always think that Mary Bicknell really did murder Mrs. Parker.
No, Judy. They'll be buried with Mary Bicknell. And to the town of Riversend, the wealthy and respected Mrs. Parker's death would always be the attic stairway myrtle.
And the curtain descends on another Dr. Christian Prize play with our star, Jean Hersholt, waiting to greet you. And Judy Price right here to say...
Baby's uncomfortable and so helpless when his little skin is chafed and sore. Oh, but so grateful when Mother smooths on Vaseline petroleum jelly. Yes, Mother, to bring cooling relief to baby's touchy, tender skin, always reach for Vaseline petroleum jelly. Smooth it on the irritated places. Massage it into the folds of skin where clothing rubs. Vaseline petroleum jelly is ideal for baby skin because it does three important things. First, it soothes and cools chafed, irritated skin. Second, it forms a protective film that helps keep out infection when the skin's broken. And third, it helps to promote healing. Since Vaseline petroleum jelly is so pure and gentle and safe, you can use it just as generously as you please. And don't forget that grown-ups also welcome its cooling comfort when their skin is red and sore. Always keep an extra tube or jar on hand. And when you buy, remember, there are many petroleum jellies on the market, but only one bears the trademark Vaseline. That trademark, owned by the Cheese Brew Manufacturing Company, is your guarantee of absolute purity. And now here is Jean Hersholt.
Thank you very much. I'm sure you'll be interested to know that Mrs. Freda Franklin, who authored tonight's prize play, is the mother of 8 children and the grandmother of 5. And still she finds time to write a radio play. This is her first radio play, by the way, although she has written some short stories. Well, next week we plan to present a new prize play called Playboy by Dorothy C. Shelton of Cherry Valley, Illinois. So we invite you all to hear the Vaseline program next Wednesday evening. And until then, I'll say good night.
Are your lips chapped? Try Vaseline Lip Eyes. Healing starts almost instantly. Vaseline Lip Ice comes in 10 and 25 cent sizes at any drugstore. For quick relief, for quick healing, get Vaseline Lip Ice. Don't miss next week's Dr. Christian prize play called Playboy. Same time, same station. Bob Anderson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.